Are we live? Are we live? Man, you already know what it is, man. It's your boy, Mr. Williams. I talk gray. And I am back here again. I am here with Charlie. What's going on, girl? I see that girl. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. We got it. I'm still. Don't worry, we're going to get you right. Yeah, just talk directly in. Yeah. All right, so we in here. See, she pulled up in a big body. I was like, hold up. Oh, snap. Hey, no, credit moves. Okay, yo, you got to put me on to the credit moves, man.
Yeah, I like to.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've been hearing about that. Why is that better than actually buying your car outright? Like, I'm an auction guy.
Well, if you're not going to have a note. But I prefer the lease over financing because I can get it like cars appreciate value. And as soon as you pull off the lot, it appreciates value. So why not lease? You know, you pretty much cut the car note almost. So it makes car more. Something more high end. I feel like leasing is the better option.
Okay, but what about like the mileage though? Don't let you got.
That.
Oh, okay.
I don't care about that. I can't even go live.
You gotta go live.
No, I can't because the network. I gotta.
Oh, okay, okay.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay, we getting right. Taking a quick break.
I'm sorry.
Nah, we good. We gotta make sure you're right.
Media lounge.
Before I proceed, I want to give a shout out to Bria Harris Tax Prep Services. Need your taxes done? Holla at my girl real quick.
It's tax season.
Yeah, it's tax season.
Thank you. Tax season. Taxes, that's how you get your wealth. You need to have your good accountant.
No, yeah, I've been doing a lot of research when it comes to that. Yeah.
And yeah, all that good stuff. So that's definitely necessary.
Okay, so you good now?
I'm good.
All right.
It's notifying people. I'm good.
Okay, she live.
Yeah, so I'm sorry about that.
No, you good. So you say you don't really care about the mileage.
I don't.
How so? Why so?
Because the thing is, because I've been leasing for a long time now. Mm-hmm. So the whole point is that if you go in to get another car, they're going to wipe out the miles anyway and let you start from scratch. You know what I'm saying? So I prefer to do it. I've only leased with Audi, Mercedes. Uh-huh. So I can only tell you about their lease. And BMW.
Okay.
So I don't know about Toyota. I don't know about Ford. I don't know about Nissan. I can only
tell you
about
end.
More high end.
Yeah.
And finna go higher.
Okay. So, yeah. She's heavy. Finna go higher.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. That's a good way to start off the new year. How your new year been so far?
New Year's been good. This is my fifth podcast for the year. You know what I'm saying?
Really? So, already?
Yeah, for real.
Damn.
For. But I remember last year was my first one with you.
Okay.
So since then, I have definitely been taking it and taking everything by storm and just running. It's all about productivity. So,
yeah,
we starting out strong.
Okay.
Regardless of how shit look in the background, we still starting out strong. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, why do you think people don't keep up with their New Year's resolutions, though?
Because they undisciplined. They don't have discipline. They lazy. People like the... I say people like the, what it is, they like the idea and the perception of success, but people don't want to do what comes along with it. They don't like the struggles that come along with it. Nobody
That's
likes
so
to
true.
Lose money.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to deal with like the pain behind making the money.
Yeah.
Because the people the make this shit look easy.
Pain behind making the money.
It's pain behind making money. I don't care how successful somebody look out here. I don't know how good they make it look.
Yeah,
there's still something going on in the background. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I like that. Yo, that sounds like a title. Pain behind making the money.
It's a lot of pain behind it. And people don't like to talk about it. Especially being an entrepreneur. It's a very lonely road. There's a such thing as entrepreneur depression. And it's a lot of weight on your shoulder. It's a lot of responsibility. So
entrepreneur depression.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. I never heard of that.
It's real. Okay. It's a real damn thing.
Hey, but you making it look good,
man,
though.
I've been an entrepreneur for 7 years now. I should be on medication.
So what are some things you do to keep your spirits high, though?
I do what I love. I still live vicariously through the 15-year-old me. Like the girl who had the dreams and the aspirations. I didn't forget my dreams and my aspirations.
Okay.
A lot of people do that because what happens is you graduate or you from college or high school and then you start letting life.
Yeah.
But you just working the job.
Life. This girl dropping so much gems in it.
You know, but that's what happens. People forget. You forget who the hell you are. You become an adult and forget exactly who you was as a teenager.
Yeah.
Forget what you aspired to be. I'm still living. I'm still that girl. I still live my life as an adventure. And ain't nobody going to stop that.
Okay. Know what I'm saying? So marriage didn't stop that for you?
Not even being married. Because, yes, you married me, but I'm still an individual. Whereas one, but I want my husband to do what makes him happy. I still want to do what makes me happy. And we still come together and make each other happy.
Okay. Did you always have this kind of mindset, or this is something that you like?
I'm always gonna do me. I'm gonna do whatever hell Charlie wanna do. I'm gonna do whatever I want to do.
I'm always gonna do me.
And that's what people need to start doing. Do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
Not what people say you should do or what society tells you should do. You have to do what makes you happy, and that's how you find your, you know, that's how you find your way.
Well, you looking forever young.
Thank you. I drink water and minding my business. I mind the business that pays me. I don't do drama. I stay away from anything that's toxic. I stay the hell away from it. Yeah. And I just focus on me and what I got going on.
Okay.
I'll be trying, child. I'll be trying. I got young adult kids, so they kind of keep me.
That's crazy. You know that was the first time you told me that. I still can't believe you have young adult kids.
Yeah, like my daughter, she'll be 24.
What? Like, you still look like
But remember, I started having kids young, though. I started early. Yeah, motherhood was a struggle for me. So, for my single mothers out there, you can still find yourself, raise your kids, and stay on the right path.
Yeah,
because
you,
this shit wasn't easy.
You're doing a damn thing.
A lot of struggling. I talked about it in my book, how I came to Miami on a Greyhound bus. My babies, when I had a 2-year-old and an 8-month-old. And I literally had to struggle, like, get it out of the mud.
Damn. So that's how you got to the paychecks to profit?
That's how we got, though.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But what if my paycheck is all accounted for and it's all I got? Like, how do we get to the profits? How do you see the profits?
Your ass got to go find some more money. You got to find a way to get some more income. Like, that's just what it boils down to. You know what I'm saying? And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. You have to figure out how to make yourself an asset, how to bring value, and be very strategic with the moves that you make. That don't mean you're not going to make mistakes, and you're not going to take losses. Like, I posted something in my stories. You may even hit rock bottom and have to hit the reset button 1 or 2 times in your life. But the key is to keep going, because you have to know what your destination is, and just embrace the journey of getting there.
Wow. Okay.
You know,
I mean, I hear what you're saying.
It's easier said than done. But like, don't let these little gurus online fool y'all, including me. We make this shit look good. Excuse Lord, I shouldn't be cursing on a Sunday. We make it look good. People tell you the content, but sometimes don't give you the context behind it. They don't tell you the application that goes with it, because you are only seeing sometimes the result of the hard work of the productivity.
So that's
where it gets misconstrued. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we see people when they have arrived, we don't see the things that they went through in the background. And a lot of people are not telling you. They're not giving you the context of it. They're just giving you the content.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I try to be very transparent. This is not easy. Some people should just stay working and just look for supplemental income. Some people shouldn't be out here.
Really?
For real.
No, you know what? That is so true. Not everybody's built to be
an entrepreneur. Not everybody's the same.
But how do you think a person comes to that understanding to know that they're not built for it?
When you always giving up and quitting, or somebody always got to tell you what you need to do, or, you know, like, you don't have the discipline to, you know, put yourself in the right mindset. You don't have the right mindset, because it is mindset as well, because you're going to deal with a lot of failures. And some people don't like failure. They don't like trouble. Like, we can talk about that failure shit all we want to, and, oh, failure way to success. Some people want to be comfortable. I don't even like to fail. So, let's be real. It don't feel good.
And if you
know you don't like that, that's like somebody saying, I don't like confrontation, but I want to be a fighter. I want to fight in the MMM or whatever the hell that is. I don't like to get hit. I don't like pain. Why would I do that to myself?
Yeah.
So, you have to ask yourself what you really want to do.
Well, what was some of your biggest failures that you've had?
Oh, Lord, where do I begin? I start with my baby daddy. That was one failure. I love my children, but having kids, and I knew I wasn't ready financially for them, that was a failure for me. You know, people say, well, damn, but you know, you can't afford these kids. You knew when you had the first one, and then you go have a second and the third. That was something that I did. I had my first child at 18, and I had the second one at 20. I wasn't in a position financially to be having 2 children, you know. Just making dumb ass mistakes, because the thing is, especially when you're an entrepreneur, your mistakes cost you money. And then you go back in hindsight and be like, damn, I wish I hadn't did that. But just setting yourself up right financially and not making things, not doing shit that's going to make you have to pay dummy taxes in the long run. Like, that's what it's called, dummy taxes. So, you know, but one is having children at such an early age, knowing I wasn't financially ready. Two is taking jobs that I know I didn't really want, but did it anyway, just wasting my time.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, bad money management. Buying shit I shouldn't have been buying. Like, the list could go on and on.
But did those, but did that situation with your kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did that feed your hunger to go harder now?
It did, but I just, what really fed the hunger was, like, tired of struggling. Tired of being broke.
Tired of
looking at everybody on the outside and like, damn, where do I fit in? Like, how can I make my life look like how I want it to look? So it wasn't like, and then I started getting selfish. Like, a lot of people say, oh, I did it for my kids. I did it for my mom, mother, his. I did it for me. Because nobody can't be good if I ain't good to me.
No, that's shit. So true.
Yeah, I got to be good to me first. So I'm very big on being selfish. Like, I did it for me and so my kids and whoever could benefit from it. Mm-hmm. Like, me and my husband, the decisions that we make, we do it for ourselves first. And then the kids benefit from it.
Okay. Like, selfish. Yeah. So it's okay to be selfish.
It's okay to be selfish. Actually, it's great to be selfish.
Really?
It's necessary. Because people will take and take and take till they can't take no goddamn more.
No, that's so true.
And then you'll be left with nothing.
These damn kids out here
I'm
now.
I'm telling you, your kids will take. They'll ruin your credit. They'll take all your money. They'll you know, and my kids, I love them.
Yeah.
Especially when they become adults, though, because they still trying to figure their life out. And I'm not big on, like, kicking kids out at 18 years old and all that shit. You need to set them up.
Yeah,
because
I think that's just us.
You need to set them up. But once they get to a certain age, you know, you have equipped them with what they need, then you start saying, okay, it's some valuable lessons behind this. I'm not going to make everything so easy for you because life ain't going to be easy.
No, facts.
You know what I'm saying?
I think that's so important because I was actually talking to my best friend the other day, and one of the key differences between me and him, when I moved here to Florida, he stayed back in New York, and he was actually flipping cars.
Mm.
But my parents, they kind of gave me a good life, really, when I look at it. And it took away that
hunger.
You
had that hustle.
Nah.
You never had to
struggle. I ain't have it at all because I grew up in a 6-bedroom house.
It's a double-edged sword, though. But who don't want to grow up like that? Like, be for real. Who don't want to grow up like and don't have to worry? You know what I'm saying?
But then it could cripple your kids if you're not being intentionally letting them know, like, yo, this is how you get this. This is how you get that. Like, I didn't learn about the importance of credit until I was 33.
But you learned, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't in the time.
Still kind of trying to learn.
But it's okay. At least you learn it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but the thing is, okay, you ask yourself, do you want the financial trauma of going through growing up being broke and no food and all that shit? Or you had a stable household. Yeah, you didn't learn a couple things, but now the playing field is fair. Google, you can learn whatever you want to learn nowadays. So I look at it from both sides of the spectrum. Yeah, your friend is hungry and had that hustle, but look at what he had to go through to get there. That's a lot. It was a lot of pain behind him getting to where he is. You didn't have that pain and that trauma.
Yeah, he a millionaire now.
Hey, you can be one too. But now how things is now, man, you could be one too. Anybody could be a millionaire now.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, to be honest, a millionaire ain't even the goal no more. Like, it's like multi-million, 10 million because when I hit my first million, I thought I was going to be like, okay, don't let these people fool y'all.
On some taxes.
Get some these taxes. And
yeah, because you ain't really a millionaire.
Overhead, excuse me, payroll. And then the more money you make, you need a team because you can't do everything. So, yeah.
But how you go about making sure you find the right team?
You just don't go through a lot of people. The more you grow, you're going to go through a lot of people. And you have to change from being the I, because a lot of us are solopreneurs. So now you go from being I to we, where I get the team and we work together, and then it's they. And then when it's the they, when you have the they system, you pretty much have to put the right people in the right seat, and that takes time. And you're going to always go through people, so that's why you're forever hiring. You're forever interviewing.
Okay.
So you can just keep hiring and interviewing until you get the right person.
So you don't think there's nothing wrong, like, or there is a strategy in terms of finding that right person off the rip?
You can do intelligence tests. You can do personality tests. You can give them probationary periods, but at the same time, until they do the job, you're not going to know. And you got to understand how they work under pressure. So you got to stress test them. It's a lot of different things that go into
stress
tests. Yeah, trying to get the right employee. But you're going to go through a lot. Trust me. I can't even tell you how many damn employees I done went through. Some of them I done went through. I don't even remember their name. Like, they see me right now, I don't even know they work for me.
Who you again?
For real. Just that quick.
So what kind of
obstacles do you put somebody through with a stress
test?
Well,
no, it's just like I let them do the job and let them make the mistake. But, of course, when you're hiring, another thing people need to realize, too, even with, like, being in the short-term rental space, you need to have systems in place. You need to have an SOP. You need to have different things so that you can set your team up for success.
SOP, what's that?
Yeah, that's a standard operating procedures.
Okay.
So you want to be able to set them up for success, because if you bring people on your team and you don't tell them how you want things done and you don't train them, they're going to do it how they want to do it. And now you got chaos. So if you make a process and we do it the same, we document that process and we do it the same exact way every single time, we don't deviate from the process.
Okay.
No matter who in the seat, I just give them the SOP and this is the process. You just stick to the process. Don't deviate from that.
Okay. What about when you find those people that want to be in your seat?
That happens too. That's when you got to get rid of them. Because then what happens is you start creating your you start creating competition for yourself.
Yeah.
So you create your own competition. So you
but
have
isn't
to be
that
very,
a good thing?
It's a good thing, but it's good until they start stepping beyond the boundaries. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you have to be very careful. And you're not going to stop that. The whole key is, especially when you hire somebody who's young and hungry, the goal is you don't want to stagnate them. You want to clip their wings and let them go fly.
Yeah.
But I don't want you stealing my customers. I don't want you stealing my database and taking my people along with you. So when you in order to navigate things like that, you want to do like non-compete clauses. You want to do NDAs. That's when you got to start having your legal documents and stuff in place and making your employee agreements. NDAs, employee agreements, non-compete clauses, even defamation clauses in your contract so that when they leave, they won't
slander.
Put your fucking name through the mud.
Yeah.
You want to have different things like that in place.
Okay.
Get you a business attorney. I am not an attorney. That's a disclaimer. I would say I'm not an attorney and I'm not a CPA.
You sound like you could be an attorney, though.
I should have been an attorney, though. That was my goal. I want to be a defense attorney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see that in
after leaving the property. All my clients would have won. Every last one of them would have won.
You said NDA. What's
a
the NDA?
What the hell they call that? A non-disclosure.
Because I saw Lori Harvey saying she getting dudes to sign NDAs if they date her.
That's good. That means they can't go and tell her business. So, you want NDAs. But still, none of that's going to stop people from doing what the hell they want to do. Let me just be perfectly clear.
Yeah.
So, nothing you have people sign, no, there's no foul proof way to stop things from happening to you. Like, it is what it is. You're just going to go,
it's just how you handle it, basically.
That's pretty much.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You can put, I got a 12-page terms and agreement, terms and conditions on my website. But guess what? That's because not if shit happens, but when it happens. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't, that's just to protect you after the fact. That's just, you know, when it's time to go to court, you can show the judge, this is the things I had in place.
So did you ever have to go through that?
No. Don't even speak that up. Please don't speak that into my life right now.
Yes,
no,
yes,
I got enough going on. I don't need that. No, I haven't.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't wish the court system on nobody.
Please.
Man.
But if you got to do it, you got to do it.
No,
it comes with the territory. You can't be out here. That's like saying when I used to be a police officer and thinking you never going to have to arrest somebody. You never going to give a ticket. You never going to get in a fight. It's just inevitable. It's
I'm still happen. Trying to get over you as the popo.
For 10 years.
10
Nobody
years.
Don't know that, though. 10 years. I was the police out here.
That's crazy. So did that? So did any skills being on the force actually help you since you came
in? You know what it is? Learning how to make decisions fast. Because, you know, you go to somebody's house and you literally got 15 to 30 minutes to figure out what the hell is going on. Let me triage this scenario and make a decision right now on the scene. Some decisions can be life or death, too.
Mm-hmm.
So learning to make decisions very quickly, very fast, like that was a good thing. And leadership, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't miss that shit.
So you had to go up people's crib for real?
I said I don't miss it.
Oh, you don't miss it?
Mm-mm.
So you had to go up in people's cribs for real?
Yeah. But remember, y'all called me. I wouldn't want to be here. Like, if I'm the police and I get called, that's because
you called me.
Like, so you called me because you and your husband. I had a scenario one time, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, the husband and the wife was doing threesomes together.
Yeah.
And then the wife got mad because the husband kept doing the threesome with the side piece. And then she called me like, what the hell can I do? What you want me to do, lady? You know what I'm saying? Like, she's like, oh, I want him out. They got into this big fight. I'm like, ma'am, we can't put him out of his own house. You know, if I can ask him if he wants to leave, but you know, y'all, this is the decision you guys made that's consensual. Was the young lady an adult? Yep, she was. Okay, have a good night. I'll write
that's
the information.
That's crazy.
Hey.
Okay. Yeah. So she was calling you to put him out.
Yeah, she wanted to put him out because it wasn't working. Yeah, whatever the hell they had. And that was an older couple, too. Yeah, they was older.
But you know, yeah, you know, you got some old people. Yeah, they kind of, you know.
Trying to keep the spice, child.
Yeah, you got to keep the spice going.
Keep the spice going for it. But yeah, but that was a good thing about the police department is it did teach,
yeah.
you know, leadership. It taught how to make a decision, mm-hmm. you know, so you're very decisive. Like, it doesn't take me a long time to make a decision. Like, I can make a decision in 60 seconds and I live with whatever regrets that come along with it.
Oh,
that's what okay. I think a lot of entrepreneurs need. Like, make your decision and stand in the paint on that shit. Stand yeah, on it.
Facts.
Like, it is what it is. No matter what happens, good, bad, or ugly. You stand on that decision.
So how much paychecks did you have to put out till you started seeing profits?
A lot. I've been working since I was 13 years old.
13?
Yes. My first job I got at 13.
What so you doing at 13?
I worked at a museum of science. So, like, that was the first job, okay. and then it from there was fast food, then it was retail. So, and then the thing is, but having those jobs were that created structure for my life. That created, and it showed me with each job, I learned something different and I took something with it, which allowed me to be a better CEO.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, a better entrepreneur, because I could take those things. Like, sometimes before you can be a good boss, you got to be a good worker.
No,
and
that's
so,
true.
You know, and I done had, you probably name a company, I most likely I didn't work there. You know, KFC, Taco Bell,
KFC.
UPS. I quit UPS the same day.
What?
Sure in the hell did.
They why, had me out there.
They had me out there loading trucks. I was like, oh no, baby. This is not the life. This is not what I signed up for. And I just had a baby. So, but I had to do what I had to. So I always had that hustle mentality.
Yeah.
Just didn't know where to channel that energy. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people are going through that, especially like my young entrepreneurs or people that's young and they aspire to be entrepreneurs. They don't know where to start. They're still looking for their niche. That's okay. Keep looking for that niche, but keep that hunger and that drive, you know what I'm saying, of being an entrepreneur.
No, facts.
Like, don't let them stop you.
But how were you able to structure yourself outside of the system, though? Because you know that could be different.
Okay, because you have, okay, so if you're just being, if just getting started on getting into, I don't care what kind of business it is. I don't care if you're doing Airbnb, you're doing hair, real estate, nails, whatever.
Yeah.
You have to set up a structure. Because, like, when you work for a job, they tell you what time to come in, what time to go to lunch, what time
to
leave.
Yeah.
If you get your ass up every day and you got a business and you don't have some type of productivity, there's no calendar, there's nothing, you just winging it, you are really undisciplined. And you don't and you don't even know what your day looks like. So that means you don't even respect your time. So how you expect somebody else to respect your fucking time?
No,
so you
true.
Have to create a schedule so people can respect your time. And then you can keep yourself focus on what your strategies are for the week, for the day, for the month. And then what you do is you start reverse engineering. Whatever you want your company to look like 3 years from now, you start putting things in place that helps you get to that goal.
Okay.
And, but you definitely need a structure. I wake up at the same time every day. If I don't, I'm like, Lord, let me pray about this and get my shit together. Wake up at the same time. Have my team meetings every week, same time, same day. You cannot be late for my team meetings. That's how I hold myself accountable. Like, everything has to have, and if you can't do that for yourself, that's why I say everybody ain't cut to be out here. Then that means you need to stay at your job.
Yeah.
Because you need structure. You don't even know how to create structure for yourself.
But how do you reprimand yourself when you get out of line?
I don't make money when I'm out of line. That's all reprimanding I need. When I'm out of line, ain't no money coming in.
Ain't no money coming in.
Remember, I work for commission. I have to cut checks. And then remember, it's not just me making money for myself. I also have to make sure that my employees are getting paid.
Mm.
Vendors are getting paid. Investors got to get paid out. There's a lot of weight on the shoulders of, you know, being an entrepreneur. So that's why you gotta have some structure and some discipline.
No, you're right.
Like, you don't need motivation. You need structure and fucking discipline. We got enough motivational speeches out here. You can scroll through Instagram and you can get you 35 motivational speeches before you get your ass out the bed. I want to give you solid information. I want to tell you this is what you need to do. I want to give you context, not just motivation.
Yeah. No, you're right. There is so much motivation.
Too much. It's
too
much. It's motivation overload.
Yeah.
It's oversaturated.
Yeah.
Like,
no, that's so
damn.
True. That's so true.
It's crazy.
But I think people are in a state of delusion and they don't like to look at the fine line of like saying, hey, yo, I need a structure or I do need that team to actually get things done. You know what I'm saying?
Even if the team is just you and one person, you know what I'm saying? But you still got to put in the work.
Yeah.
You know, like, business is an intellectual sport. You have to be thinking your way to the money. You got to be delegating. You have to be strategizing. You have to be out here. Like, if you're the CEO of your company, to be honest, your main job as a CEO is to go out and network, get strategic partnerships, facilitate the business, delegate tasks that need to be done. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to be answering emails, making phone calls. Like, that's minimum wage activity.
Really?
You can't, really. You shouldn't be focused on the minimum wage activity. You need to be focused on what's your hourly rate. If my hourly rate, for me, my hourly rate is $350 an hour.
Okay.
Who gonna pay me $350 an hour to send out emails? Like, go on Indeed.com right now and see if anybody's paying $350 to mail out emails. If anybody's paying $350 an hour to answer phone calls, you're not going to find it.
So why delegate would
I, Exactly. So I'll find somebody that I will pay them minimum wage to do that for me. So why would I put myself in a position to do that? Not that it's above me or I won't do it if I have to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I get it's what like, you're saying. Take yourself from those minimum wage activities. See, too many, that's why we go back to the solo entrepreneur, the I phase. You want to do everything, but it's gonna, you can't scale like that. Mm-hmm. So in order for you to scale, you gotta ask yourself, what's your hourly wage? What should I be focusing on? So you should be focusing on networking. And if you don't want to be the face of your brand, that's fine. But you need to be working on the brand.
Yeah,
like the things that's gonna make the money. That's what you focus on. You should be focused on cash flow and not losing money. Because what happens is if you don't focus on the cash flow, the money now, the money later, the money future, then you're going to eventually run out of cash. So that's why you see me doing podcasts. You see me always revamping my site online, doing content, networking, going to conferences, getting a mentor, because that is for the betterment of the business, not me sending out emails.
So if somebody tried to get in touch with you right now, there's already a system in
place.
There's
a system.
Where you're not going to have to speak to you.
You're not going
to
talk to me. Now, some people do have my cell phone number, but that's about to change. Because I'm going to change my number. But you should have you.
Okay.
Even if you get you a virtual assistant just to answer your calls, create a buffer so you don't make yourself so accessible. And I get it, because I used to be that girl when I first became an entrepreneur. I needed every sale I wanted.
Yeah.
So I made myself so damn accessible to people that it was like I was the secretary, the accountant, the admin. You need to stop, goddammit. I'm telling you today, just stop. Just get you somebody. You could pay them a couple dollars an hour to answer your calls.
Well, you got some virtual assistant that be in like overseas.
Africa, Pakistan, Philippines, India. We only want to hire Americans, though. I love being in America, but sometimes... Oh, I shouldn't say this. Lord. Lord, if I say this, this might be a viral one. Like, I love being an American, but God damn it, I don't want to pay an American $20 an hour to send out emails for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just being real. That's why you notice places like T-Mobile and Spirit and like all the big corporate companies call their phone lines and see who answer the phone.
Hello, thank you.
And you thank damn you right. You know why? T-Mobile. Because they're cutting costs, because payroll is one of your biggest expenses with a business. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about being smart, being strategic. So
no, facts. So
when I like it comes Americans, to- but
but when it comes to like that, like the virtual assistants, are you constantly going through them or
no? Not really, because well, with my virtual assistant team, I've had all of them for a little bit over a year now.
Okay,
and they're very, and the thing is training them. You have to say, it don't matter who it is, whether it's an American or African or they from Philippines or Pakistan. Mm-hmm. You have to set them up for success. So that's why you document the process. And you create an operating system so that they know what to do when they come in. You know, and that's the beautiful thing. Like with my short-term rental business, I have a team and I have a system. So there's a team for the cleaners, a team for the maintenance, a team for escalated customer complaints, a team to deal with investors.
Oh,
so
there's
you can set up many departments. Even if your business, say for instance, your business is not that big, right?
Yeah.
And you have 5 short-term rentals. I'm you know, I'm talking about short-term rentals because that's what I do. So say for you have 5 Airbnbs. Okay, you set up many departments. Even if you don't got the people yet, that's why I say start reverse engineering. You know, in the future, you're going to need a liaison to handle the cleaners. You're going to need a system in place to deal with the customers. You're going to need somebody to deal with like the property managers. Who's going to be facilitating your contracts and your documents? So you start creating these mini departments. It may not have the people yet, but I know what department it is. I know what it does. I got an SOP for it. So when I hire the person, put the person in the place.
Yeah. But you know what? You said something so key that I didn't even think of. The fact that you said you won't send an email.
No.
Because who's going to pay you your hourly rate? You know? And it comes back to a mindset thing.
Yeah, my word. Like, why am I sending out emails? I can have somebody do that for me. I don't send out emails. I don't make phone calls unless it's like if it's a call that's going to be a sales call or it's going to generate some revenue, then I'm all in. If it's not money making activity, why am I focused on it?
So do you have somebody else to assist you with the money making activities as well?
Well, yeah, my assistant, and I have a personal assistant. So, you know, okay. I delegate tasks to them and say, hey, I need you to do this. Hey, I need you to send out this information to these investors. I need you to contact these property managers. I need you to do this. So I tell them, because remember, you're only one person. Mm-hmm. The whole purpose of getting you a team is to duplicate yourself and duplicate your time because it's only 24 hours in a day. But shit, by the time you sleep, eat, cook, get in the car.
You still cooking?
Yeah.
Really?
Sometimes. Wow. Not that good. Sometimes. Sometimes I had to. I'm about to lose my husband, child. I wasn't cooking. So I like either to cook or get a chef. Which one?
Okay, okay.
So yeah, that's the whole purpose of making sure that, you know, how we are. We've been on systems. I'm all up. I'm telling people how to structure their whole business over here.
So if I got 50K in my 401K, right? And I'm trying to get to the bag. What would you advise?
You got 50K, you already got the bag.
I'm trying to double the bag.
You got 50K, you already got the bag.
What advice would you give me?
I would definitely say invest. Okay. Be strategic. I say you need to, because you need to diversify your portfolio. One of anything isn't good. So 50K sitting in the bank, especially with inflation right now, is really fucking 22K. Yo, so with the cost of grocery, gas, and everything else, interest rates, you know what I'm saying?
Yo,
so
it's crazy.
You need to be, even right now with the market experiencing the softness that it's experiencing with real estate and interest rates and things like that, you still need to be investing because the market is not going to stay down forever. Eventually, it's going to turn around. So if you can find properties that's below market value, you can get you a Airbnb or a short-term rental in a good space that can can be profitable or can carry itself, then you'll be good. Like, the thing is that, but you need to be investing, like,
you know,
for real.
You know what's so crazy? I was driving through Sunrise. It's not too far from here, up by Sawgrass, and they had a sign, like, when you go through the neighborhood, and it said, no Airbnbs.
Man, they be hating.
Why is it like that, though?
Because Airbnb has a negative connotation. And then also keep in mind, Airbnb steps on the toes of a lot of these big name hotel industries and things like that. So they pay lobbyists a lot of money to create these, to get with these politicians to create regulations to put them in place. And plus, they don't want the little man to make money. Like, let's be real. You know what I'm saying? If everybody out here making money, then who gonna work?
Who gonna work?
You know, like, so is the system is not set up for that. And then some HOAs and some communities, they just don't like it. It is what it is. Somebody may have had a bad experience with Airbnb and left a bad taste in their mouth. And then you got, like, with some apartment complexes, some leasing agent just may have a stick up their ass about Airbnb. Now they want to be the Airbnb police. Like, I'm just calling, like I said. You know, it's just barriers in place. But it's in every industry. There's some type of barrier, you know, or something. But are you going to let that stop you? Or are you going to transition and pivot and do what you got to do so you can stay within the industry? But you still need to be investing in. But people that the places that don't allow Airbnb, sometimes it may say no Airbnb, but that don't mean it doesn't allow short-term rentals. Which is, like, so people kind of confuse them. It is, but it's not. An Airbnb, although it is a short-term rental, is set up supposed to be for daily rentals. Whereas a short-term rental can be midterm, can be 30, 60, 90 days. So I may have a place to say no Airbnbs, Airbnb Karens. I may have a place to say no Airbnbs, but I can do 30-day stays. I can do 60-day stays. So I can circumvent the system. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And then every now and then I may sneak a couple, one day, 2 days in though. That's a disclaimer. You know what I'm saying? So you just got to figure out how to circumvent the system. And like I tell everybody, I started out sneaking.
Okay.
I started out, and it ain't going to be you.
Sneaking.
I surely, and most Airbnb hosts started out sneaking. To be honest, I feel like if you ain't never snuck into Airbnb, you probably shouldn't be doing the shit.
So did you feel away because you was the popo at one point?
No, because I wasn't going to go to jail for doing Airbnb. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could go to jail for doing, like, selling dope or some shit. I'm doing Airbnb illegal. Illegal, when they say illegal, that means in the sense of administratively illegal. Illegal against maybe an ordinance, but I'm not going to jail. They're not going to clog up the jail system for me.
Oh, really?
You know what I'm saying? No, I ain't.
So a person doesn't get locked up?
Y'all Google me one case where you seen somebody go to jail for doing Airbnb. Find me one case. You know what I'm saying? Somebody may have gotten fined. They may have gotten evicted. Yeah. But that's the ramifications. That's probably the harshest it's going to get, a fine or an eviction. Okay. I ain't seen nobody doing 3 months in prison for Airbnb. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just it hasn't happened. The thing is that, so you have to ask yourself, how much risk are you willing to take? And I look at it like this. It's no different.
How much risk are you willing to take?
No different when we was going through the whole revolution with cannabis and marijuana.
Yeah.
There was a time when you could not sell marijuana. People was going to jail for that shit, though. Mm-hmm. Like, that was those penalties was much harsher.
Whereas
people were literally opening up cannabis stores. It was underground. I kind of liked it when that industry was unregulated, when it was underground, to be honest.
I don't like
when government comes in and starts to regulate things, because then what happens is too many rules and shit start getting put in place.
And it ain't pure.
Exactly. So this Airbnb space is no different than what happened with the cannabis industry, where they were saying, oh, you can't do it, it's illegal. And then guess what? It's here to stay. The pressure was so much that it's like people had to be like, all right, fuck it, we just gonna let you do it. And now, don't get me wrong, markets will be oversaturated. You're gonna have people in the industry that they're just looking for a quick buck, and eventually they will weed themselves out, and then the people that deserve to be there will stay.
Yeah.
Simple as that. You know what I'm saying?
So do you think, like, these systems, like inflation or when prices get crazy, do you think, like, it's purposely done? Like, how the stock market is down crazy.
Man, I don't know what the hell going on. I do think so. Because you know why? Also, because it was a lot of money flooded out here in these streets during the pandemic. And nobody can't tell me it wasn't money out here, because I seen it with my own eyes. What a time to be alive, baby. If you was getting some money during the pandemic, woo, Lord.
People was getting more money to stay home.
Let me tell you. There were some weeks that I was making like $10,000, $20,000 in 1 week.
Damn.
During the pandemic, the streets was flooded with money. But what happens is too much money went out into the economy.
Yeah.
And now it caused inflation, prices are rising, interest rates. And the crazy part is, it's kind of bad right now, because with the real estate market, you have the interest rates going up with home buying. So it's making people a little apprehensive to purchase homes.
Yeah.
And then you have on the short-term rental side, you have the rent prices are still high.
Yo, rent is crazy.
Who you telling?
People staying together because of rent.
I'm telling you, group economics. Because right now, baby, this rent is out of control. So it's like a double-edged sword. It's a balance. It's either, okay, the housing market, interest rates are up, but rent is low, so they're pushing people to be renters.
Yeah.
Or it's, okay, we're going to make the interest low, and it's it's a buyer's market. They're pushing people to be buyers. Now, I don't know what the hell the administration is doing.
Yo, my pop just moved to Africa.
By land. That's right, by land.
He just,
I've been looking at Cape Town, South Africa. I mean, no lie. Cost of living is cheap. Yeah. Your money stretches farther.
He found a two-bedroom over there, two-bedroom, two-bath for like $500.
Let me tell you something. Our money stretch far in Africa. Like, we went to South Africa, man, for $100, you a millionaire. Like, for real. We went to the club. We had like a platter of chicken big as this damn table.
What?
15 bottles. We spent probably $15. I swear to God. So I'm like, man, people sleeping. My youngest daughter graduates, I'm really considering migrating and leaving the United States.
Yeah, because it's crazy here. Like, I don't know.
I'll make my money here and live over there.
Yeah, yeah, no, no, no. That's actually.
For real. It's about being smart. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't got to pay no taxes over there. I can have my chef, I can have my driver, my makeup artist. Yeah. I can have everything I want. Still have the perks of living the lifestyle I want, but less the money. And I can always fly my ass on back over here to the United States. I can buy a private jet over there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's about being smart. I love the United States, but shit, I want to be able to afford it.
Yeah. So what's your thoughts on, like, blowing a bag on a wedding? Like, there was a post going around with this lady, and she wanted her husband to, well, her fiance to drop $250.
All right, first of all, I don't like to watch people pockets. I don't be pocket watching. I don't like to tell people how to spend their money when I spent $35,000 at the Ritz-Carlton for my little wedding. So, I spent the bag. So I would be a hypocrite to tell people how to spend money.
$35,000, but did you have something set up, though, at that time?
What you mean?
Like your Airbnb business?
No, I was a police officer at the time.
You spent $35,000.
I wanted what I wanted. And it is what it is. So, you know, but I can't tell. $250,000, I think, is very excessive. But that money, I think there should be a compromise between her and the fiance or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe saying, okay, instead of doing $250,000, because obviously they pockets can't afford it. Instead of doing $250,000, let's do, $100,000.
Yeah.
And let's take $125,000 on the wedding, $125,000 and invest. That way you happy and I'm happy. I always feel like there's a happy medium somewhere.
No, that's
you
true,
know what I'm saying?
True.
But I'm not one to tell people, oh, don't spend this, don't buy this, buy what you want as long as you can create some more income so you can afford it. Or you can let your assets pay for your liabilities. Maybe if you're investing, then, oh, they come up with a plan and say, okay, I'll tell you what, we're going to go out here and get these properties or get these rentals. And then if you use that money, can pay for at least half our wedding, then boom, I'll meet you halfway. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I always look at it, I'm like, yo, you're going in debt. You don't have a property yet. You don't have anything yet. Just on a wedding. Like, that don't make no sense. Like, that's crazy.
Somebody said they had an intimate wedding, very small, and bought a house a couple months after. Very smart. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, you shouldn't be having your wedding and not have you any assets.
No, like, big facts.
Yeah. Now, and to be honest, I'm not going to lie to you guys. Like, I'm really big on, I don't have a house that I purchased to live in. I went down that route before. I have all the homes that I buy are investment properties. And I rent where I stay.
Is that the Grant? I thought I heard
the Grant Cardone method. But yeah. I was doing that shit before Grant Cardone. That's my method. For me, that just made sense to me. You know what I'm saying? So, but you got to do what? Yeah, but you got to do what works for you. Like, I don't tell people. I just, like, the disclaimer for me is I only know the Charlie way. So, you know, the Charlie way may not make sense to you. So don't do that.
So, like, you rent where you.
Where I live.
Where you live.
Yeah. And then and I'm always out looking for tax liens and investment properties because that's easier, because those things are going to make money. See, unless you buy a house with equity in it, then that house is a liability, unless you're going to rent some rooms out and create a house hack. But, and then let's be honest, most houses, when you purchase it, you're going to stay in this house for 20 years or 30 years and say, I'm gonna give it to my kids. Your kids ain't gonna want that old ass house. Like, I done seen it time and time again. You know what I'm saying? Like, you holding on to the bricks in the walls, your kids gonna sell that shit, or they gonna end up letting it go because they're not gonna pay the taxes on it, the upkeep.
Facts.
You know, I just got a tax lien property where the same exact thing happened. The kids turned, that shit was damn near a bando. Like, they was almost a crack house. And the kids, and I quit claimed that house for $1,000. And now, after putting $20,000 worth of work in it, that same house is worth $100,000. So, you know, unless you're buying a home below market value, you're buying a home below market value where you're buying equity, then I am a proponent of, you know, getting you investment properties and you can rent where you live. But do what works for you.
Okay. I guess because, you know, you have people that get caught up with the family.
Yeah,
and
some people like, oh, the house is the American dream. And I just want equity. If that works for you.
The backyard.
I done did that shit. I did it twice. I did it when we did the first housing bubble, when we went to our first recession and lost money, ended up doing a short term. And I did it a second time. I just don't, for me personally, I just don't, it's not
for me.
You
don't see the sense in it.
Yeah, for me personally. Because you're responsible for all the maintenance. And the question you have to ask yourself, can you afford a house? Are you in the financial position to buy a house? Because in most cases, it's 3.5% down, 5% or 10%. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Depending on the structure of the loan. Then you have to pay closing costs. Then you got to furnish said property. Then you have to make sure that if anything happens in that house, if it's a brand new pre-construction, there's usually a warranty. If not, you're responsible for any maintenance, cutting the yard, doing all that shit.
Yeah.
So, you got to ask yourself, are you financially in a position to do that? And then hopefully you're not buying at the top of the market. Hopefully you buying this house below market value, so you walking in the equity. Fuck the interest. Like, people buying for interest, you should be buying for equity. If you're not walking into that house with equity, you on the losing end of the stick out the gate.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But so it's the Charlie way.
She's like,
it's not.
The Charlie way. So what are your thoughts when it comes to, like, doing a refinance versus, like,
cash out refi?
Like HELOC. What's your thoughts on that?
If you could do a home equity loan of credit, why not? Like, and if you do, either way works. You know what I'm saying? That's still, you're still getting the equity out of the house.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing pretty much. So what somebody said, how do I get a $20,000 loan to renovate my old home? A HELOC or cash out refi.
Yeah.
Or use your credit card. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you get a house that's an investment property and then you pull in the equity out, you do the cash out refi, you keep the house and rent that property out and find you a tenant. I don't really want to be a long-term a landlord like that. That ain't where my heart is. That's why I prefer the short-term rental, you know, game.
Okay.
But you can rent that house out. That way you're cash flowing, paying off the mortgage at the same time, and you was able to pull money out of the property. So, you know, do what works for you, but just be very strategic with whatever the hell you do.
No, facts.
You know what I'm saying?
So it seems like you know what to do when it comes to that paychecks to the profit.
I know a little something. I know how to survive out here. I know how to look at, and remember, I live in an area where I look at how people are moving. You know what I'm saying? How they're moving and shaking, and I mimic their routines. I mimic people that are doing better than me, not just on the same playing field of me as me or doing less. I like to look at how people that can give me humility and humble me. To be like, sit your ass down.
You thought you was doing something?
You ain't doing nothing. Yeah. So I like to look at those people, and that's who I talk to about finances and money and how to make moves. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because they know.
Yeah.
And you got to have enough. You got to be able to push your pride and your ego down and say, all right, let me listen.
Okay. So, well, you know what? It's the fact that you have all the lavishness, but then you still say that your husband works a 9-to-5.
Yep.
You know.
And I have no shame about that whatsoever.
That's so crazy to me because you don't. Okay. So you don't think his mentality would affect yours because you're out here getting in and moving?
We have our fair share of disagreements. Let me get a disclaimer.
Yo, you definitely had to be a lawyer in your past life.
Yeah, we have our fair share of disagreements. He has not always been pro entrepreneur. That was an issue. And I've talked about this before. We you know, me and my husband, we talk about everything.
Okay.
And we have had our he was like, man, you can go your ass back to the police department. That's when shit was rough for me. And I was like, I'm not going back to that job. Like, so it was a disconnect because I literally changed the dynamic of the household. You know, even though he was carrying a lot, but when two incomes, let's just be real, most households out here are two incomes. I don't care about what y'all listen to online.
You ain't no 50-50.
It's fucking two incomes. Even though I don't like the 50-50 shit. So I'm just being real. You know, I'm going to be very transparent.
I like the 50-50
I'm just being transparent. But, you know, he wasn't very pro-entrepreneur. He's been working for 27 years. Same thing like me. I started working at 13.
Yeah.
So he's been on this job a long time. So I'm supposed to ask somebody with structure and stability who's been doing this their whole life to come out. And we've had the conversation, why don't you retire and just come out here and let's. But that's where he feels comfortable at. You have to allow people to be in their comfort space until they're ready to go. That doesn't mean that he doesn't have extra things on the side to bring in supplemental income.
Okay.
We're not leveraging credit. You know, and then sometimes, believe it or not, when it's time to get approved for things, he's in a better position than me because being an entrepreneur, your paperwork sometimes don't be right in the background. And banks like W-2 employees. I don't care what nobody say.
Really?
That banks like W-2. So as I'm now a W-2 employee of my company, but when I first started out, I was not. So banks like to see W-2s. They like to see stability. They don't mean that you can't get money if you're not a W-2.
Yeah.
But in some instances, it's much easier for him when he would go to the bank because he could show stability. I've been on my job for 25 years. I made six figures. I got my paperwork in order.
He's safe for them.
Yeah. So, and they would look at him and consider him lower risk. Somebody like me is higher risk.
Mm.
So that's the thing.
Okay.
It's about balance.
No, that's true.
You know, it's all about balance, but do what works for you. Like, I tell people, you have to do what works for you and your household. Me and my husband got it out of the trenches together. My husband met me when I was on the bus with two children. Okay. So,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know that Tyler Perry movie? I think I said this in the last podcast. It was the same fucking story. The girl on the bus who had the two kids.
You know, Tyler Perry always got some damn.
I know. He owed me a check.
Yeah.
Tag him. Think he stole my story.
But you got lucky, though. Because that ain't the situation for a lot of females out
lucky,
here.
I'm blessed. I got blessed. Like,
because in terms of Kevin Samuel, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I didn't deserve love, baby. Shit. I like Kevin Samuels, but according to Kevin Samuels, I wasn't supposed to be a wife. I should have been a side piece. Like, I wasn't wife material, according to Kevin Samuels.
Two kids, and they not his.
Two kids. I had one baby daddy, though.
Okay, okay.
And mind you, hold on. But I probably would have been wife material because I was young. I was only 21. So
I
probably could have skated through because I wasn't 27. You know, Kevin Samuels say your fucking life is over after 27. Like, Lord Jesus. So I probably would have skated through a little bit.
So with this whole 50-50 thing, because you
see God. Women,
what should a woman be spending her money on?
Herself. Herself. I'm just being honest.
With you, I get it, though, because you came in. Even though you changed the trajectory of your household, but you still came in with something that I feel like the energy that could uplift or bring things to a different level.
Well, I look at it like we're a team.
Yeah.
Do what works for your household, though. You know what I'm saying? We're a team. Do what works for your household. But I am very vocal with my husband. Like, well, why I gotta help pay this? Like, I'm over here making moves, trying to invest. I'm very vocal, but we understand our roles. You know what I'm saying? And what works for us.
So what should the woman be responsible for in terms of finances? Here we go, Lord.
Nothing. No, for real. I feel like as a woman, this is me. This is Charlie speaking.
Especially if she's not traditional.
What do you mean by not traditional? What does that mean?
Because you have a lot of women that are really not traditional. Like, they're not stay home. They don't know how to really cook like that. They're not good with kids. And they want the same kind of setup.
Hold on. So you want somebody who is doing all of those things. So hold on. You want me to cook, keep after the kids, make sure the household is maintained, and still go out to work?
No.
Okay. All right, that's what I want to...
Yeah. Okay. No, let's clear that up.
All right, so that's for clarity.
If we're being traditional, mm-hmm. and she wants me to pay everything, mm-hmm. then I feel like, okay, then she would have to be traditional as well.
I agree with that.
Okay.
So I feel like if the husband is paying everything, then wife should be wife. That means, you know, a traditional role. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the cooking, the cleaning, because that's a job by itself.
That's true.
A whole damn job. I don't care what nobody says.
No, it is.
So, like, and I was watching this lady. Her name is Rachel Rogers. She's like a millionaire, a 7-figure business owner. We was talking about, like, as a high figure earner, mm-hmm. like, if you're the breadwinner in the household or you're bringing in a substantial amount of money, mm-hmm. then that thing is, it's like, damn, now you and your husband arguing about who gonna cook, who gonna do this. You're like, shit, well, we making the same amount. Why I gotta do this? So the thing is, now you start, that's when it comes to the play where say, okay, well, let's pay for somebody to come and cook. Let's pay somebody to come in and clean. Okay. Let's pay somebody to do those normal traditional roles to free up our time so we can spend more time with each other.
But what about the kids? Like, are you not... How are you teaching your daughters?
Right? My daughter still got to wash dishes. She got to do the bathroom, wash dishes. But don't look at me to always be the one. I have too much on my plate. So for you asking me to cook, clean, like I will do those things.
Yeah.
But to cook, clean, and all that stuff, you know, it's a lot. So mm-hmm. and also trying to work and be a modern woman, that is a lot. You know, the modern woman.
So what's
your
idea on being submissive?
I'm still submissive. I think when it comes, it
really depends. I don't get that.
I'm submissive. I believe that I still always want my husband to feel like a man. I never want to, you know, it don't matter who making what money at the end of the day. I still want to be led by a man. I don't want to be like, I'm bossing him around and like, okay, well, you know what I'm saying? I still want to feel soft. I still want to live the soft life.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be in my feminine aura, my feminine.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Space. So I'm really big on that. No matter, like this is personality. This is just talking to the public.
Yeah.
But home is, I want to be a woman. You know what I'm saying? So I'm big on tradition. My grandma and granddaddy, God bless the dead, my grandfather just passed away. They were married for 62 years.
Wow.
And my mom and dad, before they got a divorce, they were married for 19 years. She's mm-hmm. remarried now. So I come from a structure with a family with a lot of marriages and you know, those unions. So I respect marriage. And I respect the roles in our marriage. Mm. You know what I'm saying? No matter who bringing what. Because there's times that he didn't carry me. There's times I didn't carry him.
Yeah. So do you feel like you being out here getting it, you know, entrepreneurial, did you pick up some masculinity through that journey?
I think that happened in police work.
Oh,
and that's why I left the police department. Because it got to the point, because with police work, you're taught to always tell people, I need you to do what I said do and do it right now.
I need you to get on the ground.
And then I felt like it was changing my personality at home. It was changing me with the kids and with the marriage. Because it was like, why y'all ain't listen to me? I said it. So it was really, you know what I'm saying? So, and that's why I wanted to leave. That's why I didn't want to do police work
anymore. Did you have to do any like therapy?
I know. I should have did therapy though. I should have.
Okay.
And to this day, I think I still should do therapy. Because even with being an entrepreneur and the more leveling up that happens,
mm-hmm.
remember, especially when you're a first-generation entrepreneur, and this is for like a lot of you guys out here, you should have somebody to talk to about feelings and things, because you're on uncharted territory. And then there's tension in the family. You know, not even outside family that you have tension with, because now they look at you differently. Because, oh, you doing all this.
Hold something real quick.
I ain't tell you go stay out there with all them white folks. And you know, I'm just being real. You know how black families can be.
Yeah.
And then sometimes
pulling up after Thanksgiving.
And then everybody sometimes wants you to be their savior.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I'm saying?
So, hold something real quick, cuz.
Yeah, exactly. So you need to be able to talk to somebody about the things that you have going on. I be listening to Master P, and I listen to how he talk about the things that he go through with his family. Mm-hmm. Sometimes because of the financial trauma that we suffer, we need to be able to have somebody that's a neutral party that we can talk to about those type of things.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw him recently going through it with Romeo.
I know. That's sad. I hate to see families fight like that. And a mentor, like she just mentioned. A mentor. And I do. I have two mentors. So.
Okay. Still currently.
Still currently. Still with Ross.
Okay.
Still with Spectacular. I'm still. You see me at the Dolphins game?
I saw that.
In the suite.
Okay, yeah.
Dolphins, go Dolphins. What's the score? I need them to win, man.
I saw that. So is that a part of the mentorship?
Yeah, that's a part of the perks? Mentorship. That's a part of the perks, yeah.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But remember, different mentors have different roles in your life. So one mentor may be just for relationship building. One may be for showing you how to set up your systems and your structure. One may be for mindset. One may be, so you just have to know. And then sometimes you can outgrow a mentor where they've taken you as far as they can take you. Now you graduate on to somebody else.
Okay.
So that's real.
So do you think... Because I've heard somebody say, you know, mentorship should be
Hold on, somebody say the Dolphins is down three.
Down.
Lord.
I ain't gonna lie, I don't really know nothing about football.
Come on,
I'm
Dolphins.
More of a basketball kind of guy.
Yeah. I like both, but I'm more football. I'm more of a football girl.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with somebody, and somebody was saying, like, mentorship should be free.
What?
What do you think about that? Because, like, if you love to do it, it should be your way to get back.
See, that's that broke people mentality shit. Here we go. Here we go. You know what I'm saying? Here we go. People telling people how they should value.
People mentorship.
No, YouTube is free.
10 bands,
20
bands.
YouTube is free. Google is free. We cannot put a price tag on people's mentorships.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People have, this is blood, sweat, and tears and years of you paying for somebody's mistakes. You want me to give you all that shit for free? Like what Drake said, you weren't with me shooting in the gym. You know what I'm saying? So why should I? So remember also, let's keep in mind mentorships and something like they, some of these things are structured because it's the, this to be the, they're supposed to be complementary to your journey going through business.
Yeah.
So they're going to be a good mentor is going to tell you what you're doing wrong, try to pivot you from making mistakes and do preventive maintenance. You know, so you want that for free too? Like you see, the thing is, we have so many people dropping gems and motivation speeches online that we think everything should be free. We don't want to pay for nothing. But remember, you get what the hell you pay for out here.
No, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So cheap shit ain't good, and good shit ain't cheap.
No, so, that's so true.
If you want it, you need to pay for it. Simple as that. You have to pay to play. And so we have to get out of this mindset.
You gotta pay to play.
You gotta pay to play, baby. And we have to get out of this mindset that somebody owes us something, or I owe you my blood, sweat, and tears to give it to you for free. Now, if I want to do that and I want to make you a protege and take you under my wing and say, hey, you can put in some sweat equity and help me keep building, and I will mentor you along the way, that's different. But hold on. You don't want to work for me. You don't want to help me build shit. You don't want to give me no sweat equity. Well, you want me to help you grow your shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on now, we gotta get out of that. Like,
you don't
wanna
work for me.
It's that sense of entitlement. It's like we have that, that sense of entitlement. Yeah. Like, I'm entitled to your success, and you have to give me what you have.
Yeah.
And I think that's a broke mentality.
Okay.
You know
broke
saying?
Mentality. Yep. We're not doing that this year.
No, I'm not doing that at all.
Yeah, she's
I'm not doing that at all. So, and you know, some people gonna feel some certain way because everybody, and you know, I hate when people are like, oh, well, here come the course, here come the class, and here come the link to join now. Well, what y'all want people to do? Shit, do you go to your job for free? Because whether or not me giving you the gems that I give you and me talking about, that's still me. This is still my job. I'm still working.
No,
I still want to be compensated.
Yeah.
So if you like what I'm giving, then you buy into it. It's no different than going to church and you liking what the preacher says, and now you're tithing that 10%. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how the preacher
gets paid. You give me a 10%?
I do. I tithe my 10%. Well, not quite 10, Lord. Not quite 10. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. You know what I'm saying? That's why you got to invest in yourself, baby.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. If you're not paying for it, it doesn't have as much value to you.
Yeah, like, your girl, Coach Stormy, said when you pay attention.
No, that's facts.
I agree with that. When you pay, you pay attention. When I got, spent
$10,000,
I want to know what the hell is going on. $25,000, if I paid you $5, I might just like, man, I don't feel like doing no session today with them. I don't feel like talking. Like, my mentorship, talk to my mentor and his team every week. Every week I schedule something. When Ross and them come in town, I'm there because I'm going to get my money's worth.
No, that's facts.
Simple.
And then, I like to pay because then now I could talk shit.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and
when
then,
you're not giving me what I feel like I deserve,
also,
I can say, hey.
Not just that. Also, let's keep in mind, when you pay and you compensate people, that's how you get people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do a partnership with somebody. You want to get somebody's attention. Bring out the checkbook. Open up the bag.
Bring out the checkbook.
Like, you want... Like, I swear, and it's no shade, and I understand because I used to do it, and I have people like, oh, I could take you out to lunch, man, I could pick your brain. I could pay for my own lunch.
Yeah.
Just pay for my time. Like, you know, my time is $350 an hour.
Yeah.
Send me $350. And we can do something.
And I'll sit down with you.
Because if your job asks you to come in and say, hey, your rate of pay, let's say it's $24 an hour, and they say, well, can you just come in for $10 an hour today?
Yeah, nah.
Would you do that?
Yeah, nah.
Exactly.
We don't do that. Yeah.
So, like, look at it from that perspective. Of people think when you're an entrepreneur that you shouldn't value your time like that. Like, you know, and if they too expensive for you, then that's fine. That mean maybe they just not for you, and you find somebody that maybe is compatible to them.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't like to put a max on what people should charge, or kind of like, you know, be negotiating with them what their rates are.
Your rate
is your rate.
Yeah.
But if I can't afford it, it ain't for me. Maybe I'll come back to you when I can.
Okay.
Simple.
I like this. This was great.
Yeah, it was good.
Paychecks to profit.
Paychecks to profits. You can get that on my website, charlienakia.com. Right now it says Paychecks to Profits 2.0, but that's because I'm coming out with a new book. But the old book, if you click on the link, it'll take you to Amazon. You can get the book. The book on like $10. $10. Tell you about my story. It talks about credit, how to change your financial trajectory. But y'all wait till y'all get this 2.0 that's coming, baby.
Okay.
That's
2.0. Okay. We love it, man.
And also, if you're in the Airbnb space, you can also go to my website and click on Airbnb hosting tools. And I have different things there. Landlord scripts. Data.
Landlord scripts. Okay.
Yeah. Profit and loss data sheets. I have a couple other things on there, like a partner host agreement. If you're doing property management, you can get all those things. So if you're trying to get your business started and you need contracts and documents, or just, you know, something just to give you a
discount code.
No discount code for the listeners. No discount. It's only $37.
It's only $37.
If you ain't got $37, you don't have a money management problem. Like, you have to go back and
let's start from a different angle.
Yeah, that means you doing something wrong. You got to work on your income. This ain't even talking shit about nobody. You got to work on your income, because my 14-year-old can get $37.
You have a 14-year-old? I just can't. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Remember, 24, 23, 14, but I have two stepsons. One's 25 and one is 21.
Okay. So he had kids,
too? No, 23. Yeah. When we met, he had two boys.
Okay.
And two girls. And they were together. It was a black Brady Bunch, and we were struggling our ass off. Man, and some of the stories I can tell y'all, oh, my God. Yeah. We took the kids on a Christmas trip one year. Uh-huh. That's why nobody can't tell me nothing about being broke, none of that shit. Yeah. I done been in the gutter.
So how old are y'all? What kind of, so you say you renting? Are y'all in an apartment?
No, we're in a condo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How much rooms in there?
Three.
Okay. It's like a full house.
Yeah, it is. But that's enough space.
Okay.
But we went on a Christmas trip one year, and man, on the way to we was going to Tennessee, and the fucking heater went out in the truck on the way.
Damn,
man, you should have seen us with blankets and heat. I got when we stopped and got a heater from Walmart to try to plug it up in the truck on the trip. The windows was icing up. Oh, it was a disaster. Damn disaster.
Y'all stayed together.
We stayed together, baby.
Hey,
we stayed
through it all. You know what I'm saying?
Stayed through it all.
Because a lot of women out here, they don't want to go through the man's struggle. They want to meet him at his success point.
Well, we didn't know our heater was going to go out in the day. We wasn't expecting the heat to go out all the way on the trip now. We wasn't struck. We was bad when we were like, we still had a house and all that stuff. But, you know, it doesn't matter, because believe it or not, we were middle class, but the middle class is really the poor.
Oh, really?
Yep. You want to know why?
Why?
Because
what's the
poor actually, because remember, when you live below the poverty line, you could get food stamps. You can get assisted with housing. You can get assistance with your child care. You can get all that stuff. You can't get that once you become middle class, because you are above the income bracket to qualify for those things.
So that's why people be trying to front and stay like on that low.
Well, some people do, yeah, because they like, shit, I can't get no help. You know what I'm saying? So they go back and step down on the ladder. You know what I'm saying? But then when you do reach a certain level of middle class, then what happens is sometimes you become a slave to the paycheck, a slave to your mortgage, a slave to your car note and your lifestyle that you in the middle class community that you're keeping up with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I was that person. And so it's like, damn, now how do I get out of this? Like, how do I get beyond this? Because with middle class, you ain't making enough to live the life you really want to live.
Yeah.
And you making too much for the government to help.
To give any assistance.
So it's like it's a double, and you paying all the fucking taxes.
Damn.
Exactly.
So right now you're in high class?
Because the rich knows how to get away from the taxes. Know what I'm saying?
True, true.
The poor ain't really paying that. Imagine you ain't making no money and you getting back the biggest fucking tax refund.
That's great.
Know what I'm saying? Like, let's put this shit in perspective. Imagine you only made $10,000. You only made $10,000 for the year.
Yeah.
You have four dependents and you get back $9,000. I busted my ass. I made me $40,000, $50,000 this year. I paid my taxes, my FICA, my all that shit. I did everything I wanted to do. And then you come back and tell me I owe you $4,000. Does that make any sense?
It's a hustle.
Does it make any sense, though?
No.
Am I the only person that feels like that's some bullshit?
That is.
And then imagine me who goes and says, all right, I'm going to be an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to figure out how to get these tax deductions, because when you're a double W-2 employee, you can't even itemize. There's nothing you can itemize if you don't have an LLC. There's no itemization. You can't take the certain things. How you going to write off a business trip? You ain't got no LLC. You just a W-2 worker. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I'm not a tax person. But I'm just being real. I'm just finding a way to circumvent the system.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, okay, let me go set up my LLC. Let me get my investments. Let me write off the stuff for my, you know, my mm-hmm. short-term rentals. I can write off my business trips. I go to Canada for Christmas. Okay, let me go see a couple properties while I'm up there, meet with a couple realtors. Boom. My Christmas trip is a tax write-off. Okay. It was a business.
Yeah. Facts.
You know? And my daughter was my social media manager. My husband was the assistant while I was there. They were my employees. They're included too.
Wow. Okay.
Have my birthday party. Let me invite a couple business partners.
I saw you out in Canada.
Okay. Yeah. And I went to see some places.
Okay.
When I was there. I always go see places and I always meet up with realtors when I go out the country. Turn your trips into business trips. But remember, you have to spend at least, I think it's 20%. Maybe you can ask your tax person when she's here. Don't quote me, y'all. Or maybe one of y'all know. At least 20% of your time on the trip, or 25%, has to be related to business.
Okay.
So every day you there don't have
that's
to
be. That's a gem, y'all. Make sure y'all writing that
but
down.
But make sure that 20% is correct. Look that up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
that's
you do have
homework.
To spend time. Just say, let's just spend 30% of our time on the trip doing business.
Okay.
You know, meeting with realtors, going to look at properties, going to look at things, or going to networking events.
Yeah.
Go on fucking Eventbrite.
Yeah.
And look up some networking events in the area while you're there.
Okay.
Go to an event.
I love this. This was so dope.
It's good.
Thank you for coming through. Let everybody know where they can find you at.
Y'all can find me for the 9 people that's looking at me on here. I lost my audience. I had some people, but I lost them. Whatever. You can find me, Charlie Nakia, on Instagram. My page, I had to start. I'm starting from scratch. But somebody's working on getting my old page back.
Okay. That's Charlie, crazy.
I hope I can't trust nobody.
Like,
you show.
Anything, I'm deleting the damn conversation. You.
I hope I get my page back, but Lord, if I, whatever.
I don't understand. Like, it's getting at an all-time high.
Yeah,
text
people
messages.
Hacking people. They taking your stuff.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy. But you can find me on Instagram, Charlie Nakia with 2 A's. TikTok, Charlie Nakia with 2 A's. And CharlieNakia.com. It's my website. I'm going to be having a class coming up soon, a 5-day short-term rental challenge.
Okay.
I don't want to drop the dates right now, but just go on my website.
Make sure y'all get on
it. Yeah, I have another site for it, but that site having issues. Mm-hmm. It's part of being an entrepreneur, child. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. But if you're trying to get into the Airbnb space, you can go on there and get the landlord script. You can go on there. I'm going to be adding the class tonight. You can also go on my website and purchase my book, Paychecks to Profits.
Okay.
Or if you want me to come out and do some public speaking and talk to your people.
You can
click on there, engage with your girl, and I'll come out and I'll talk to your people for a fee.
For a fee. Make sure
including airfare and hotel, and I like 4-star better.
Okay, we like that.
Somebody said, I love this content. It's real valuable. Thank you. That's right. $350 an hour.
$350 an hour.
Minimum of 5.
Y'all heard
come
it.
To speak.
Minimum.
For real.
Man, no, you know what it is, man. It's your boy, Mr. Williams. I talk great, and we are out of here.
Oh, yeah. Y'all make sure y'all follow I Talk Great.
Yes, I Talk Great.
I Talk Great. You on TikTok,
here.
Right?
Yeah. TikTok, YouTube. Facebook, Instagram, we all there.
All that good stuff. So y'all make sure y'all check it out. Peace.
Peace.
That was good. Okay. That was good. All right, 2,300 likes.